Vows to the Lord our God and perform them. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. The reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God.
Peace be with you, the reader. Wisdom, arise, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be with all. Let us be attentive. Peace be with you, the who proclaim the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do not weep. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says to a woman who lost her son. A funeral is going on in the city of Nain. Jesus appears to join that funeral procession together with his disciples. A great crowd is there, we are being informed by the evangelist Luke. A young man has died, and Jesus approaches that woman and he tells her to not cry. This does not seem natural. This does not seem likely. This does not even seem sensitive, especially when we consider a couple of things. First, think of Jesus at the funeral of his friend Lazarus. He wept. Jesus wept at the death of his friend. Why is he telling a mother at the death of her son to not weep? Secondly, we need to keep in mind the fact that in that time, in that part of the world, a woman without a man had no status, had nothing and no one to provide for her, to look after her, frankly, to even speak for her in public spaces, certainly not before government structures. And yet Jesus tells this woman to not cry. The gospel reading today does not even actually seem all that real to most of us. Most of us in today's world, given the fact that modern medicine, the care that we have through the wisdom that God has placed in the medical world, the medical professionals that we have around us, most families, certainly not in North America, most families do not have to deal with the death of a child. But that still happens. And it's not that long ago that this was actually a rather common occurrence. It's only decades ago that you would travel around the world and you would encounter families with 2, 3, 4, 5 or more children, and almost all of them would have been able to share with you the story of the passing of a child. So while the experience is foreign to us now in 2022, it's not that foreign to the memory of every single society we live in. Given the situation and my responsibilities with the Minnesota parishes, I've had the great and rich blessing to be in contact and in conversation with a wonderful and grieving family at the parish, at our sister parish in Rochester. This family, originally from Russia, who had moved to Rochester, Minnesota, precisely for the medical treatment available at Mayo and Mayo only, have lived for 13 years with a beautiful baby, beautiful boy in their lives, who spend more time in hospitals and in treatment than outside. Yesterday, that parish had the funeral for this wonderful boy, Roman. I could not possibly imagine myself approaching this poor mother and tell her to not weep. And frankly, even for those of us who say farewell in funerals to others who are elderly, who have lived perhaps a long and fruitful life and passed away with no surprise to us, I still cannot say, do not weep. On the one hand, I cannot say that. I would not say that because I weep when I am forced to adjust to a period for the rest of my life of missing someone whom I love. And I am not Jesus, in case you didn't know. But I strive to be like Jesus, for he invites me, and he invites all of us to strive to be like him. And being Christ-like, we actually hang on to that second statement. We grab a hold to the words of Jesus that immediately follow the call to the mother to not weep. And his words to her are not actually to her, but to the boy, to the young man. And Jesus says to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Those words are also words I cannot say. For I also am preparing for my own parting from this world. I also am preparing for my own death. And because even though I strive to be Christ-like, I am not Christ, I do not expect that my words would have the power to bring back to life a 13-year-old boy. Or a relative in my family whom I love and has passed away, or a friend, or the only source of support for an elderly mother, like in this gospel. So I cannot say that second statement either. Again, because I am not Jesus. But the second statement is the one that actually awakens me. This statement is the one that I guide my life by. I stand here before you, vested in clothing that hide the person who is me, willing and striving to show the only true person, Jesus Christ, whom we all wish to commune of. You are here this morning for that same reason. And when you wake up and on your lips you place the name of Jesus, you do that also because you hang on to those words of Christ, "Young man, I say to you, arise." You see what happens in that conversation between Jesus and the crowd is really a foreshadowing, an action by which Jesus basically shows them a glimpse, shows his disciples and those present and that woman a glimpse of what is to come, a glimpse, just a little window opening up so they can see the change that he brings to the world. When Christ was born into the world, a miracle baby, when Christ entered, when God became flesh and began to live among us, and when he began his ministry, and he began his preaching and healing, and when he begins his passion and suffering and death on the cross, all of it is because he wants to show us, to awaken us to the resurrection that he heralds for us, not for himself. For you and I, my brothers and sisters, he rose from the dead. And when he approaches that mother and tells her to not weep, and moves over to the funeral bier and tells the young man to arise, He tells all of them, and he tells you and I also today. We will arise. We are here because we've been created to be immortal. We are here because the Lord God seeks to live with us forever. So the words that take place, that are shared by Christ, are in fact the words that we share as comfort to everyone and anyone who is forced to begin that period of life in which we miss someone forever. It's a joyful sorrow. And we greet each other with the words of memory eternal at funerals and at memorials, because we are the ones who keep eternal the memory of this person who passed away in God's memory. In his mind, we make this person alive even though we do not see him or her in the flesh. And brothers and sisters, it's the comfort of the resurrection. In that particular instance in the city of Nain, Jesus actually brought back to life a young man who had died. And Jesus brought this young man back to life because this woman would have been destitute and without no one, without anyone, if this man were not risen from the dead. But you see, even that man whose name we do not know is actually a representation of you and I. I cannot bring people back from the dead. But if someone is left in need because of the passing of a loved one, you and I are the son who is brought back to life to actually reach out and serve the person in need. You and I are the support to someone who struggles in their longing for a loved one who is no longer around in the flesh. You and I are the son who becomes the provider. And brothers and sisters, in this, we allow tears to come, knowing that that weeping is actually that joyful sorrow, a sorrow of longing, but a trust in the resurrection. A sorrow of longing, but a belief of eternity and a pursuit for sanctifying one another through our own work even before we pass away, through our own faith and striving to be Christ-like. In the epistle reading, and I'll close with this, Jesus did not tell the crowd after he rose that young man in Nain, he did not tell them that he would raise everyone from the dead on the spot. as they processed to the grave. He did not tell his disciples and apostles that that would be their power or their ministry. He simply assured them, as we hear in the epistle reading, I will live in them and move among them. You see, when the woman received her son risen from the dead, she did not just receive her boy who was her source of support, material support. She received Jesus Christ in her. She received the movement of God being alive and being faithful to his promise. May we be reminded of that faithfulness of Christ God. Amen.